Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 4:46 p.m., and that is Juneau time, so quite a bit behind New York time. And it was a very interesting day in markets today. So I thought one of the bigger movers was also one of the clearer trends here, that Tesla has lost its uptrend consistency, but it was up in a dynamic manner today. So at least this is a signal of a return to demand dominance in the short term. But it's got a lot of work to do in order to really reignite the bullish interest that we've seen over the course of the last 3 years. So even if it were to get back up above 1,000, then we're coming back into the area of the first region of potential resistance. That's of course assuming that it can clear the 200-day moving average. Now, this was one of the primary reasons why the Nasdaq was in positive territory today. And the Nasdaq has been firming. So we're now well established back above the 12,000 level. It's coming back into the region of the peak from early June. So this is also around the region of the upper side of the range, lower side of the overhead trading range. So 13,000 is potentially a point of potential resistance. Then after the close today, we had Snap's results. So having had a positive impact from Tesla and then also from Nucor. Well, Snap disappointed with its earnings, and the share is down really rather significantly in after hours trading. So the bigger question then is, would the other very large cap companies take their cue tomorrow from Tesla's success or Snap's disappointment? And we can think about Google. So the share was well off its lows in here today. And then the question tomorrow will be, will it be able to sustain this rebound? I rather think that we're at a rather interesting point in the market right now. It's almost like we have a polarized decision-making process going on right now, because 10-year yields were down in a dynamic manner. So clearly pulling back again from the 3% level, and this was a big outside day. We saw yields pop on the upside in early trading, and then the close was below the close of any close over the last 2 weeks. So this is a big outsized move that suggests that investors changed their minds in here today and started buying bonds. Then we also had the ECB beginning to buy bonds as well. So when we then think about the outlook for the 10-year yield in Germany, so we can think that there's inflation and it's really been getting out of hand. And this is something that every country has had to deal with. And central banks have been reluctant to think about it being anything other than transitory. So now they are reacting and doing so in a rather panicky manner. And the ECB raised interest rates today by 50 basis points. So they're trying to signal to the market that they're serious. But then I think we should just think about the fact that the ECB hasn't been able to raise rates for really quite a long time. And every time they've tried, they've failed. So the price or the yield has, excuse me, the interest rate has come straight back down again. So they haven't been able to get off the zero bound since 2016. When they tried to raise rates in 2011, then they took it from 1% up to 1.5%, and then subsequently, even within the same year, they were back down at 1% and eventually had to go to zero. And of course, we've had negative deposit rates as well. So now they're trying to be a little bit more forceful, and they've gone for a 50 basis point hike. So they're trying to get on top of inflation. But the problem for European inflation is that commodity prices and energy prices are beyond their control. So, what good is raising rates going to have? And there's already deflationary forces underway because of the energy crisis in Europe. So that's going to contribute to less inflation, but probably better than anything else. But then you have the much bigger picture here, that if we look at the correlation between the median age of a population and the bond yield, there's an exceptionally strong correlation between older median age groups and lower yields. So it's not a mistake or a coincidence that countries like Japan and Germany have the lowest bond yields in the world, and countries like Zambia, where there is an exceptionally young median population, tend to have among the highest yields. So then that begs the question, well, how far can yields go on the upside without materially changing the underlying fundamentals of median age? You would need to see immigration on an absolutely epic scale to change those kinds of numbers. And short of a war and a massive refugee crisis like we saw with the war in Syria, then that's just not going to happen. And of course, that is before we even begin to talk about cultural mismatches. So, and just to highlight what that is, I thought one thing that I thought was very interesting was there was a chap driving me to the airport yesterday. And he basically was adamant that the Turkish economy was being managed incredibly well, and that they had got rid of all of their sovereign debt. And I said, well, I really don't think that that's true. But he goes, no. And he was absolutely adamant that Turkey was a country that was going to take over the Arab world and become the leader of the Muslim world, and that they had already successfully got rid of all of their government debt. Well, I didn't want to argue with him, but the Turkish lira remains weak, and there are generic bonds in both local currency and US dollar terms. So this is obviously a significant factor, that just because the world is how we'd like it to be, or how people think it is, doesn't mean that that is in fact how it is. So, but what it also helps to highlight is that there are competing views out there, and an enormous amount of disinformation that's being created to propagate various arguments and support for various factions around the world. Now, then let's think about what's going on in China, because the property sector is problematic, and the stock market is now at a place where it's becoming embarrassing. And the Shanghai Property Index, despite the fact that it's largely grouped by the large cap companies, well, it was in negative territory in here today. Thought it was also interesting, just in the last couple of weeks, that the CEO of China Vanke, which is almost as well, it's about as close to being state-owned as it can possibly be and still be independent, came out and said that they thought that we were at the bottom of the property cycle already. Well, it's exceptionally unusual for a CEO of a property company in China to make a any kind of prognostication about where the property market is, and much less to say that there is a low in, and the share has been down heavy for 2 weeks in a row. So there is absolutely no doubt that the Chinese economy is experiencing some significant stress, and the renminbi looks like it has ample scope to devalue further. Then let's think about the coronavirus. Well, we know that the BA.5 is a much more contagious version, and it's spreading internationally, and we have waves gathering in a large number of countries. But what we have in many countries, particularly the USA, is a lot of herd immunity because people have been They've either been inoculated with a vaccine or they've just got over multiple infections already. They don't have that in China at all, and the vaccines don't work that they do have. So you have a large unvaccinated or a large population that does not have natural immunity and an exceptionally contagious variant. So that's going to put pressure on the economy because what they have successfully done with the quarantine campaign was to delay the full effects. But then their solution was not the full solution, which would have been to take the very best of vaccines and then have vaccine mandates to encourage the majority of people to get vaccinated, and they just didn't do that. So this is problematic for the Chinese market. And one of the biggest lessons is to always pay attention to what the banks are doing. And the banks look bad. So China's banks are breaking on the downside. We're back in the region of the lows from 2020 and at the end of 2018 and 2017. This is the lower side of an exceptionally volatile range. And if they don't bounce soon, then we have to conclude that this is an exceptionally large type 3 top formation. And if that's the case, then they have a long way to fall. So this is obviously going to have a strong impact on the commodity complex. Copper prices have been coming down now for months, and they've been stable for the last 10 sessions, but still not really able to push up and out of this little range. Now, we are very oversold in the short term, but this range is helping to unwind the beginning of that oversold condition. We're still well below the region of the 1,000-day moving average. The 200-day moving average has already rolled over, and we're starting to see it trending down now as well. When we then spread out and look at the LME Metals Index, then we have a very similar condition where we've had this steep decline over the last few months, a little bit of steadier action more recently, but no real sign yet that the selling pressure is over. So then let's think about the industrial metal miners. We had results today from both Nucor, well, results from Nucor, and then Cleveland-Cliffs results will be before the open tomorrow morning. And Nucor as a steel producer, but also as an iron ore miner, so it's both upstream and downstream, is starting to steady. Cleveland-Cliffs is trading on a PE of 3. So we're not talking about overvalued shares here. The Industrial Metals Index, however, is going to be much more finely attuned to what's going on in the industrial resources outside of the steel sector. And it's in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. So BHP is going to obviously take its cue from both those portions of the market, and it's right in the region of this 1,000-day moving average. So if it's going to steady, well, this is where that has to happen. So as we then look around the world, we continue to see that central banks are tightening policy. Financial conditions are increasingly tight, and they will grow tighter because central banks want to see less demand. And when we have positive earnings from companies like Tesla, which are selling big discretionary items, and their sales are doing so well, then that's going to convince central banks that the market is still fine and that they are well insulated from negative economic effects by continuing to raise interest rates. But the reality is that raising interest rates tends to be a lagged effect and then a cumulative effect. So they were late to the party in tightening. They're also going to be late to the party in stopping tightening. And that is just the way markets work. So After an inverted yield curve, we often see a period of strong market activity, and then subsequently, we start to see the bite of the recession really weighing on investor sentiment. And I think that that is still in our futures. Now, when we think about the other big portions of the commodity markets, gold today was in stronger territory initially and was closing out the day having bounced rather nicely from the region of the 1,000-day moving average and closing back above the $1,700 area. And this is an upside key day reversal. So now we'll see whether it's going to hold this move as the prices are in negative territory and after hours trading. If it can push successfully higher from here, upside follow through would also break the sequence of lower rally highs. And it would begin to suggest that demand is coming back in the region of the lows from last August. And we are in the region of the lower side of this range that's been forming now for most of the last 2 years. So it's a clear area where we might anticipate some support starting to come back in and potentially to ignite a short covering rally and with clear potential for it to come all the way back up and test the $1,800 level. Then Russia is restarting the Nord Stream pipeline at about 30% capacity, so well down. And oil prices were off the high and still not pushing up and through the 110 level, but still off the low as well. We're still in a very uncertain geopolitical environment, and it is very much in the interests of the big suppliers to continue to support higher pricing. And since we don't have a lot of money flowing into, or at least not nearly the same quantity of money flowing into developing unconventional sources, and the private capital available to the wildcat sector has dried up almost entirely, or at least halved, because of university endowments fleeing. Well, obviously, that's something that's weighing on the ability of the market to increase supply. And then we have speculation that the cannabis sector is going to start to see a friendlier environment on the regulatory front. So we had a pop on the upside yesterday, but then some of those shares did not improve in here today. So Canopy Corp came down a little in here today. So we'll definitely, I think, have to see clear evidence of bullish support coming through. And that's quite possible because the I guess the big Senate meeting is going to be on the 26th, and we could easily see that as a potential catalyst in the market. What I found interesting today too is that Bitcoin was really quite stable, and that's despite the fact that Tesla has sold their Bitcoin. So it would appear that that was already in the market. And the price is now hovering in the region of the upper side of the range and testing the low from back in May. So we've seen quite a number of exchanges go bust. And now we've seen that some of the big institutional investors have already sold. So that might have contributed to the weakness we saw in June. But it's not contributing to volatility now. Would suggest that a lot of selling pressure has already taken place. And we'd really now need to see a sustained move below the 20,000 level to really reconfirm the downside. When a market doesn't fall on bad news, well, it's generally an indication that it was either already in the price or a lot of selling pressure has already taken place. And therefore, it's a lot more liable to react positively to good news. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.